Greetings, everyone. Thank you for joining us, and I'm delighted to see you all here. This is Dr. Will Tuttle, and we are delighted to be able to come together for our first Thursday World Peace Meditation Gathering. It is Thursday, April 3rd, 2025. Madeline and I have completed our cross-country odyssey again for the umpteenth time. We just finished driving across from Florida here to California. We're now in Carlsbad, California. And about 35 minutes ago, we were swimming in the Pacific Ocean, which was really a thrill. And we came up here to our really good vegan friends who we met in Fairfax, Virginia, in Washington, in that area, in Washington, D.C. area, I think about a little over a year ago. And they have, in the meantime, relocated here to Carlsbad. And so it looks like I'm in a very professional studio, but we're in one of the rooms of their beautiful home here in Carlsbad, California. It's great. And actually, Darren, you can maybe wave if you'd like. I don't know if you can. he's a wonderful friend of ours and a vegan activist.
As
you know, those of you who have joined us before, this is a maximum 60-minute gathering, and the focus is on the spiritual dimension of the vegan path. And so we're not getting too much into all of the various political issues that sometimes come up. But we're glad to get into those on the third Thursday, which is not open to the general public. Like, this is really open to pretty much anyone who wants to join us is welcome. So it's wonderful to gather like this. So what we normally do is I'll lead a kind of a not too long meditation at the beginning. And then we will open it up for your comments and questions. We'll go ahead and start our meditation. So gathering together, we give thanks for this precious opportunity that we have to be together. So let's connect with our breathing. With every exhalation, letting go of any thoughts of the past or of the future, and allowing ourselves to enter more fully and deeply into this present moment. The only holy moment is right now. And we give thanks for everyone who is gathered with us on our World Peace Meditation call this evening. Give thanks for these beautiful angels of light and kindness and caring, awakening from the cultural trance of separateness and the delusion of the underlying narrative that might makes right, to be a force for compassion and caring and awareness. We give thanks for all of our brothers and sisters who are doing their best to do the inner work, self-discovery and purification, as well as the outer work of creating and co-creating communities of kindness and caring that reflect the truth of the infinite interconnectedness of all life and of the inner light that is always shining at the very core of our being, the light that shines at the very heart of the universe, shining in our heart and in every cell of our being, lightening up every cell and filling it with the purpose that we have for this lifetime. So we take a moment now to connect in our mind and our heart with our purpose, the reason that we are here, our mission, to feel that and feed it with our energy and our love and our awareness. The yearning to awaken and to live the truth that there is one life living through us all. And we are that life. So we give thanks for all of the beings that we refer to as animals, celebrating their lives here, their beautiful, radiant expressions of life in countless ways and forms, flying through the air and swimming through the waters, abiding in their communities, manifestations of the infinite love that is the source of all life. So we send our love to all the animals of this earth. May they be liberated from human domination, exploitation, control, in misuse and abuse. And we send our love especially to those animals that are used for food, for products, for entertainment, for research, who are imprisoned, and whose purposes have been stolen. We send our apologies, our love, our compassion, which is the great yearning to do all that we can to help relieve their suffering and to rescue them from their situation. So we give thanks for everyone who is working to help liberate animals. And we send our love to them and to the animals and to all the wild and free living animals as well, who are celebrating their lives free from human interference. May their habitats continue to be sanctuaries of freedom and joy and celebration. And may we understand more deeply our human purpose on this earth. Abiding in this inner silence, in peace, harmony, in the sense of unity that we share with each other because we share the same values of animal freedom and human awakening to the truth that we are, and to support each other in our quest to build a more enlightened society that loves and nurtures and cares for all living beings. And now we move into the final part of our meditation, the four viharas, four aspects of our true home. It's connecting with love now, with every inhalation, invoking in our heart the feeling of loving kindness and benevolence and goodwill. And with every exhalation, radiating love in all directions, filling the whole web of life with the truth of love and kindness, benevolence and goodwill. May all beings be happy. Just breathing love and kindness and benevolence in all directions with every exhalation. Abiding in love. Now with every inhalation, engendering in our heart the feeling of compassion, the yearning to help relieve us beings from suffering, to do our best, so with every exhalation radiating compassion, empathy and kindness to all living beings, filling the whole world with the light of compassion, seeing it encircling the earth for all beings everywhere, abiding in our true home of compassion. Breathing and radiating compassion. Now with every inhalation, engendering in our heart the feeling of joy, the bubbling spring of joy at the very heart of our true nature, always present, needs no reason from the outer world. The great joy of being, of freedom. With every exhalation, radiating joy, just allowing this feeling of joy to bubble up and overflow from our heart, filling the whole world with the truth of joy. Breathing and radiating joy, and joy in the joy of others. Abiding in our true home of joy. And now finally, peace. With every inhalation engendering in our heart, the peace that comes naturally when our minds and hearts are filled with love, compassion, and joy, we are at peace. So with every exhalation, now we radiate peace out into the infinite web of relations. May all beings abide in peace, harmony, and tranquility. A great peace of knowing and understanding. The oneness that we share with the source of all life and with all manifestations. And we see the whole earth now as a beautiful, radiant jewel of light and peace and harmony. We know that peace is established in the true nature of all living beings. Breathing and radiating peace. Abiding in peace. Abiding in our true home of the four immeasurables. Breathing and radiating love. now to all, breathing and radiating compassion to all, breathing and radiating joy to all living beings, and breathing and radiating peace to all beings, especially ourselves, especially the animals. We hold the whole creation in our heart with gratitude and love, knowing that the human family is progressing on the great adventure of awakening to our true nature on this earth, escaping the prison of delusion and deception, understanding directly our oneness with the infinite source of our life. We give thanks knowing that we, each one of us in our group here this evening, is part of the awakening of human consciousness during this critical time on planet Earth, that we are every day as we go forth into our lives, unfolding more and more the truth of our being for the benefit of all, and building a movement for the liberation of animals and for all of us. Through the power and presence of the Infinite Spirit indwelling, we give thanks knowing this is so. And so it is. Okay, so thank you everyone for joining. I'd like to go ahead, I think at this point, and we have some time, to just see if anyone has any questions or concerns that you'd like to share with everybody, with me and with everyone, and anything you'd like to celebrate or be happy about. This is our time, and it's basically focused on, as I said earlier, the spiritual dimension of our movement for liberating animals and doing the inner work. So I'll go ahead and undo this. Okay. All right, so go ahead and let me know if you have any questions. If you don't, if nobody has anything, I have plenty to talk about, but I just want to see if anyone has anything that you'd like me to specifically to address. We're at the very end, I should mention here, we're at the very end of our lecture tour, and it's been really fantastic. This year has been the best ever, I think. I say that every year. It's always the best ever, but this this is the best. We did 70 events all the way across, and now we only have, I think, about 5 left here in Southern California, 4 of them here in the San Diego area, and then 1 up in San Jose. And then we'll be home. We'll be home a week from today in the Hidden Valley Lake. And, I mean, we don't know that for sure, but that's the plan anyway. So I want to thank everyone who helped support us, either with your prayers or so many people helped to get the word out and encourage people to come to some of our events. And it's been really a fantastic. You know, we have 2 new books, Food for Freedom and The World Peace Way, and they're both selling quite well, which is good to get the message out there. And we're in San Diego. We'll be in San Diego. We're in the San Diego area. We're in just north of there. And so, Gino, it's good to see you. I know you're not too far away. So tell me, what would you, you have your hand up. Do you have a comment or a question?
On your journey, you spent quite a bit of time at Hippocrates, and I've always been intrigued by them. And, you mentioned in one of our meetings something about how a lot of people went in there with all of these grave conditions and came out much, much better than if they had gone to an allopathic doctor. So in your observations, do you have any idea what are the things there that would make that happen for these people?
Right, that's a really good question. And basically, people go there, I think, really for 2 main reasons. Some of the people, I'd say probably more than half, go with what they feel is like a serious condition could be arthritis, cancer, some kind of high blood pressure, obesity, liver disease, kidney disease, quite a few different things. So a lot of times they've been to doctors, the cancer, the cancer hasn't gone away, neuropathy, a lot of different things. And another almost half, quite a few others though, go there because they just want to clean out and have be in a great healthy environment and just feel better. They don't have like any major problem, but some people go every year for a week or two, just as part of their spiritual and physical well-being, right? So they don't have serious conditions later. So there's both kinds of people. And the ones that come there with serious problems, and that's more than half, I would say, it's really cool to talk to people who get off their medications for cancer, for example, or for high blood pressure and so forth, or diabetes is very easily dealt with. And the main thing, according to Brian Clement, who's been the executive director for, I think about 30 years now, 25, almost 30 years, is they work a lot with people's consciousness. The most obvious thing is the food. The food is, they really spend a lot of attention, quite a lot of money, with really high quality food. So it's all organic and a lot of sprouts and really the best quality food you can ever get, really. I mean, we're amazed that they have these trucks come in and they're really, really high quality, organic food. And it's virtually all raw. There's a little bit cooked. They have a little bit if you want. But mostly it's sprouts with other foods. So I think it's a cleansing with the sprouts and the other raw foods, all organic. And then there's juices, green, their signature green juice, which I think is pretty helpful. It's, celery and, cucumber and, pea sprout and broccoli sprout. Those four are juiced and into a green juice, and people drink that twice a day. And plus they have wheatgrass juice that people do every day. So there's the food. There's a lot of emphasis on exercise and movement. So people are really encouraged, and there's a lot of people that they hire to do yoga and rebounding and running around the lake and getting into hot and cold water and saunas and weightlifting, and they have a major, physical exercise kind of thing. And then they have lots and lots of classes and learn. So it's a lot about learning. They also hire two psychologists, there who really work with people's, ideas. And a lot of people still have anger or whatever going on with their former partners or parents or whatever, to try to get people to get over their mental problems, because they've learned over the years that's what Brian says, that of the three things, the three main things, which are diet, exercise, and consciousness, the most important is consciousness. He says when people change and heal their consciousness, it's amazing what happens in their body. That's like the big thing. But a lot of energy is put into the food, really clean food, and a lot of energy is put into movement and exercise. And then there's, like I said, classes, and Madeline and I are there to help deepen the motivation for people. So it's not only for health, to really see that animals and ecosystems and all of that is profoundly affected by what we're eating, so that their motivation goes deeper. Because the main problem they've found over the years is that when people come to Hippocrates, it's this wonderful, healthy place. It's beautiful. There's 50 acres of ponds and fountains and forests and gorgeous. It's just beautiful and healthy food and positive energy. And then they go home back to here, and they just blow it. They just go back to eating meat and dairy, and they just can't. So then they go back, so they bounce back and forth. So we're there to try to help people, like, don't do that, to, like, deepen their motivation so they're vegan for the animals and for ecosystems and for their own health and other hungry people and all of that. And so I just think it's a, you know, it's a great program all in all. And there's not that many. And I'm always surprised that there aren't more of these. You know, like, we have 300 and whatever it is, 30 million people in the United States. Why do we only have this one place with maybe 50 people going there, or maybe 100 at the most? You know, it's not that many at any given time. It just seems like there should be one of these in every city at least, you know, but just one in one state. It's kind of funny. I mean, there are a couple of other ones. There's the Optimal Health Institute in San Diego, and they have one in Austin, and there is also True North, which is more of a fasting center. Yeah. In Santa Rosa. So there's a few that are similar, but I just really am amazed that that there it just seems that there should be more, but the pharmaceutical medical complex is so pervasive, and we've talked about that on our calls quite a bit. It's just a lot of people just, unless they can escape from the matrix and say, I'm done with that, and I want to try something else. But that's really it. And so this is something that you could do at home too. You know, I mean, you could, you know, eating really healthy, exercising, and meditating and having positive. They also have something I should mention too, that I'm not that familiar with, but they have a whole building, several buildings actually, that are devoted to these, high-tech instruments of various kinds. There's, what are they? What is it, Natalie? Tell me. There's bariatric like oxygen. So your things get flooded with oxygen. Your cells get flooded with oxygen. Yeah. The QRS, which
the
is
red light therapy.
There's QRS therapy. There's music. IQ. There's these things you get on and that puts the music right into your body. There's all kinds of stuff like that. High tech stuff. They have a lot of that. Brian's really into all these things. For a while, they had the cryogenic thing.
Yeah.
It's like minus, I don't know what, 100 degrees. I don't know. It's really cold. But anyway, we did that. It was interesting. But, so they have a lot of those things, which a lot of people find that's really helpful, too.
And the beautiful nature of the park. Walk in.
Yeah, they have, right. Yeah, I mentioned that. They have a lot of.
That's really cool.
Will.
You can do it at home, but it does make it easy because everybody's on the same page and encouraging each other. A lot of people like the community. I think that community spirit is helpful too. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, Will, one last question on that then. Would you say if a person came there with something very serious like cancer or something and stay for 3 weeks, 4 weeks, whatever it is, that they're not going to get cured there on site, but if it could be a kickstart. Is that what it normally is? Is a kickstart?
Yeah, it's actually could be. They could be. They could actually get it gone. Have it gone. I mean, we've seen that. It depends on what stage it is and how serious it is and all that. But
right.
I've seen people. I've talked to these women and I think men too. Yeah, who had cancer. It was like they were told by their doctor, you've got to get chemo. You've got to get radiation. You should have surgery. Whatever it was. And they said no, and they went to Hippocrates instead. And usually the cancer is a four-week program, I think. But the usual week, they have their main signature program is 3 weeks. But the cancer one is four, usually. Although it's you can customize. You can do whatever you want. I mean, they'll let you, you know, you can come for 1 week or 2 weeks, or you can come for just a day. You know, you can really do however you want. But they usually, people like to come for three. So, but I think, yeah, you could see people, you know, people that either get off their medications and feel like, and they go back to the doctor, you know, 3-4 weeks later, and the doctor says, gosh, this is weird. What happened? You know, how come it's in remission or going away? Or they have to still maybe work a little bit longer on it, depending on how serious it is.
Thank you, Will.
Yeah. Yeah, it's very inspiring, I have to say. And we've been going there for years. And the last 5 years, we've been spending a lot of time, like 7 weeks. But we've been going there for probably 20 years. And seeing it a little bit, but now we're seeing it more in depth. So I think it's a great model for another way of dealing with illness. You know, it's a totally holistic model. I mean, you're dealing with the whole person, and it's people complain because it's kind of expensive, but compared to what people pay in hospitals, I mean, it's so inexpensive. It's ridiculous, I think. I mean, anyway. Yes, Andy, you have your hand up too there.
Wait, there we go. Okay. So yeah. I have a question. You said they focused on a lot on exercise. And yeah. I went to Optimum Health a couple of times in the past, and I guess because we did a lot of wheatgrass, and I thought Brian Clement also, don't they do a lot of wheatgrass there too? Because with all the wheatgrass I did, my detox was so crazy, I could barely stand up. I mean, you get so weak from that. And so are they doing wheatgrass or not? And if so, how do the people have strength and energy to exercise?
Well, I don't know. Yeah, people do eat wheatgrass usually every morning. People have a shot, you know, and wheatgrass juice, and then sometimes, you know, more if they want. But I don't think it really puts people out of it. Maybe they don't do as much wheatgrass as they do at Optimal Health. I'm not sure. But yeah, they really encourage people to move mainly because, I mean, there's several reasons, but one is that, you know, the whole lymphatic system really requires movement.
Right.
And that's,
yeah.
You know, that's important for cleansing and for the immune system to be strong. You know, the more you breathe, you know, the more you're cleansing. The main way we get rid of toxins is through the breath, really. So it's good to breathe.
Okay.
That's a good point. I mean, when people are really, you know, when people really are detoxing, then they, you know, then maybe they don't exercise that much. But they have specialists there that work with each person individually and tell them like fine tuning their diet and fine tuning their exercise and fine tuning different things, you know, so they can, you know. Yeah.
Interesting. Thank you. Yeah, I would love to go there, but yeah, I think the expense and the time now, but yeah, it seems like a fabulous place.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, it is actually. It's an interesting place. Yeah. It's great to be back. Yeah. Kenny Rosler. Yeah. You're still, you got to unmute yourself.
Hey, okay, can you hear me now?
Yeah.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah.
Oh, hi, Will.
Hi.
Well, yeah. Hi. Yeah, thanks again for responding to my voicemails and texts and emails. I had asked you about this before, but this is kind of important to me. I watched about 20 years ago, my friend Martina Hill, who used to, you know, book Gabriel Cousins. She's in the scene minister. I was
right.
In her thing, her group for 7 or 8 years. Anyway, she showed me the Paul McCartney video called "If Slaughterhouses Had Glass Walls, Everyone Be Vegetarian." And I watched it, and I shared it with a number of people. And some people have actually gone vegan just from – it was actually true. I don't go the whole story. But you said you were going to talk a little bit about that. I know Paul's been a vegetarian for 50 years. I'm pretty sure he's vegan now, but – maybe just talk a little about that. He's a, you know, very famous musician. So on.
Right. Thank you.
Animal rights activist. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, I think it's a great video. I mean, it's been a few years since last time I saw it. I've seen it a few
times. About 12 years old. It's about 12 years ago, I think.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. PETA. It's a PETA video, basically, but they got Paul McCartney to narrate and to be part of, you know, to really kind of promote it too. And, it's, you know, I think the good thing about it is it really, shows a lot of the suffering that animals used for food have to endure. So it's graphic. And, that's not for everyone. Some people say, I'm not going to watch anything graphic, but it does have graphic enough that you get the point that it's not. I mean, there's some that are, you know, meat. There's Meet Your Meat, and there's, of course, Earthlings is very graphic.
Yeah.
And
so
there's a variety of these. There's a variety of different videos, and there's a lot more, of course, you can see as well besides those. And I think all in all, that's one of the best ones because it's not too long, and it kind of gives you a good. Look behind the curtain of our culture's food system. And when you think about the fact that there's literally millions of these animals going through this horrible hell of violence and misery and it never stops. I mean, it's just 24/7, 365. You know, it's just never ending because people are going to their to the store and to the restaurant, taking out their wallets and voting for it. They keep voting for it. They want, you know, we're voting for violence. You know, we wonder why we have you know, violence in the world. We keep voting for it. And so that, yeah, these videos are great in you know, in just showing, you know, if you, if the best thing is if you can get into a slaughterhouse and actually see it. But it's the second thing is, which is hard to do, you know, but to see the undercover, pardon me?
Can I tell you just this really quick story regarding it's pretty powerful, real. Sure, I'll be to the point. Okay. I was going out. I was dating a woman in 2016. And after going out for a couple of months, she went vegan. And she had a 16-year-old daughter who happened to love animals. She had a cat and a turtle. And she kept, like, yelling at her mother, who was divorced, that, hey, why can't I eat? This is my house. Why can't I eat what I want to eat? She called me up. She says, my daughter's driving me crazy. She says, I live here. I should be able to eat what I want to eat. You can be vegan, blah, blah, blah. So I said, dude, this is what you do. You watch this four-minute video. Tell her, walk together. And she hasn't seen either. And then you can eat whatever you want to eat. And the daughter, she said, I can't ever know again from watching that video.
Right. Yeah, that's true. That was a good thing you did. You know, you say, okay, go ahead. You can eat whatever you want to eat, but first watch this video.
Yeah.
Right.
And women generally are more affected by violence than men. Did you say that too? Women are more horrified by seeing adults than men.
You're breaking up.
Do you think men are less affected by violent videos than women?
Maybe a little less. It's hard to say. I think women maybe are more sensitive to that and might be more affected. It depends, of course, on the person, but
yeah.
I think so. Yeah, thanks, Kay. That's a really good point. Great story too. Thanks for sharing that. Yeah.
You're welcome. My pleasure.
There's someone here, Zoom, has sent me a text that she's raised her hand to speak. Go ahead and unmute yourself. I'm not sure if somebody is. Yeah.
Doctor Tuttle, can you hear me? Can you hear me?
Yes.
I have to make it louder. I'm a long way from Hong Kong, China.
Uh-huh. Great. Wow.
I wonder if you still remember me. My name is Terry. My God.
Terry? Your name
Terry.
Is... Terry. What's the first letter?
Yes.
Terry?
Hey. Yes. It's not so easy for me to reach out to you because we are a bit a long distance in between us. So I appreciate the chance to talk to you.
So we met when we came to Hong Kong, and when I came to Hong Kong, you met us. Uh huh.
Yes, I just want to say. There's something always mad about this world. It's getting madder. A mad world is a mad world. So we have to fight a tough battle for veganism. Do you agree?
Yes, I agree. We have to fight a tough battle for veganism. And you said because of the next world.
You know, because something crazy about us, maybe crazy. This is a crazy world. It's going crazy.
Well, yeah, I mean, that, you know, that's true. I think it's the Earth is renowned throughout the galaxy for being kind of crazy. So, that's why we're here. Try to help out.
I still go farming because I like living plants. I still go flying, planting for temples, you know, and people want to hear me talk. Do you agree? Because if I don't speak up, you may wonder why there's no always American or French but where are we? We don't see much of us.
Well, I remember, I mean, when I was in Hong Kong, there was a big, there was a nice big crowd
organization,
my
yeah.
talks, and we had the Hong Kong Vegetarian Society, the Hong Kong Vegan Society, and
yes.
There was a lot of vegan restaurants and things, but I've heard that Hong Kong eats a lot of meat, actually. That's what I've read, that they have one of the highest...
No, we are festive.
Pardon
me? No, we are festive. You know, we are silent. So we are looked upon as what? Consumers. People think we are just consumers. We don't know how to defend ourselves. You know, so that's why now I want to talk about your president, Trump. You know, when he was shot, he said fight, fight, fight. But the thing is, your president is fighting not for God. You know, he is fighting losing battle even for himself. You know, the president of America is fighting a losing battle even for himself, because he's not doing anything for the world which is in problem, and we have problem. He's not doing anything. He's just fighting tariffs. He's imposing tariffs different countries, and I don't know why the president is doing this job. I think he can do something greater.
Well, yeah, thanks. You know, I think what we always say is it's really up to us, the people, to create the foundation. It's a grassroots movement, and we end up creating the leaders based on our consciousness. So that's why it's so important, I think, to liberate animals and to create a more vegan society, because until we do that, we're going to have leaders that reflect us. But I think we're getting, you know, to the point in our call where I want to share a few things before we go. So thanks so much for taking
okay,
the time to join
you,
us from Hong Kong. I appreciate that, and Terry.
And when will the next time we can meet again?
Right.
Next
Good.
Time.
Okay. Keep spreading the vegan message in Hong Kong. I appreciate that. And I know it must be very late in the middle of the night for you, so I appreciate you calling. Being on our call. So one of the things I wanted to emphasize, I did have a question from Susan. She just wanted to know a little bit about the water, you know, pollution in the water, and also the California. So many things are banned because of California has stricter laws about pesticides and herbicides and so forth. So just to say, just to handle that question, we have a filter. I think I've mentioned it before. Actually, Darren got one. There's a company called Clearly Filtered and a company called Epic. Those are two companies here in the United States that make water filters that will take out residues that are really hard to get out. You can also do reverse osmosis or distillation. Those also work. But these are carbon block filters that really do a good job, I think, and they're much easier to use, and you don't waste any water. It doesn't take a lot of energy like distillation does. So I think that's what we use, and we think it's great. You know, it takes out things that, like, not only fluoride, but also it takes out pharmaceutical residues, which are pretty hard to get out. So I think that's important. And then the other thing about the California law, like, there's so many things that cannot be sold in California because it doesn't meet the environmental regulations. So I think it's a bit of a two-edged sword kind of a thing. I think it does help to protect consumers from some things. But I've noticed over the years it also falsely scares people about things as well. Things that are not, that shouldn't be considered to be dangerous are considered dangerous. And so it's not, it's a little bit confusing. Like a lot of the super healthy foods, supplements by James Sheridan, it was called Health Force. I mean, they're really very clean, but they were, they had, you know, they had the state of California said they're dangerous. And so he was always fighting with them over that, because I guess there's the way they measure things, it gets complicated. It's a little bit beyond my, it's hard to, like scientists set certain minimal levels of things, and sometimes things will test over that level, and there's no way around it. So I'm having a little bit of a hard time explaining it, but you know what I'm talking about, Madeline? There's a lot of things that we're not allowed to get in California that we get in other states, but I know they're perfectly fine. So it's anyway, it's one of those things you've got to use your intuition depending on whichever the specific thing is. So I just wanted to kind of confuse you a little bit about that. go ahead.
Well, so the water filters, the clearly filtered and Epic, they do handle the PFAS.
Those are very dangerous. Those PFOA, the persistent fluoro, whatever they are, fluorocarbons, and they do take those out. I mean, most of it. They take out like 98% or whatever. Yeah. So. Andy has her hand up. Andy, do you want to say something? I was going to read something from the Dhammapada here before we go.
Just a really quick comment based on what you were just saying. Okay. I have gotten like supplements from the health food stores for years, like from Health Force Nutritionals and so many others.
Yeah.
And they all are forced to say not approved by the FDA. And from what I've learned about Big Pharma, I'm like, okay, that's what I want. If it's not approved by the FDA, that's right for me. And that's my attitude.
Yeah. No, I think you're smart. I mean, that makes a lot of sense, really. I mean, maybe things will change now. Maybe it'll get better. But, there's definitely a big racket going on. And so it's important to do as best research that we can and see who's paying for for whatever studies we're reading. It's confusing for sure. I thought I would read a little bit from the Dhammapada, because we haven't had a chance to do that lately, and then that'll kind of bring us up to the, unless there's anything pressing. I just want to maybe say that our whole movement right now, I think, is really desperately needing more spirituality. And the more we can do our inner work, the better it is for everybody. You know, the vegan movement is fantastic. We love the vegan movement, the movement for animal liberation. It's just being, I think, really impacted a lot from both inside and outside. The carnivore movement is like booming. All these people are promoting the carnivore diet now, especially people who are sort of alternative people. And people are sort of condemning and blaming vegans for a variety of things, for being too, you know, eating too much junk food, and that's a problem. A lot of vegans are really eating a lot of pretty junky vegan food. So I think a real need for us to raise our vibration and not get angry, not fight with each other in the vegan movement, to try to create more harmony and listen to each other. There's something that we heard about recently at one of the Unity churches we spoke at 2 weeks ago, called the Braver Angels movement. I don't know if you heard about the Braver Angels. But the idea is that you get together in meetings, and you have people that come together, like Republicans and Democrats, people who just like can't stand each other and can't listen to each other, and they just come together and don't argue. Just listen to the other person, don't say anything, and they listen to you, you don't say anything. Just to listen, you know. I think it would be great to have more of that within our vegan community too, just to listen. Because we're having a problem when we give lectures that people are saying, you know, we're never going to go here, Will Tuttle, because he questions the climate or he questions vaccines or different things. And I would love them to come and we can talk about anything, you know. It's really nothing to like cancel each other out about. But we do have the vegan community, which is a new it's an online platform. Gabriel Cousins and myself, we're doing on the third Wednesday of every month, we're doing a conversation, and a lot of it is based on building the vegan community again, if we can, to try to bring back some more discussion about things so that it's not so polarized. So with that frame of mind, let's just read this little section from the Dhammapada. I haven't read from the Dhammapada in so long, and I just think it's kind of nice to do that. So This is from the chapter in the Dhammapada called Anger. It's not the whole chapter, just the second half. It's not very long. This is how it goes. For the ever wakeful, training day and night, intent on nirvana, the toxins disappear. Ancient is this saying, O Arula. It is not just of today. They find fault in one sitting silently. They find fault in one speaking much. They find fault in one speaking moderately. No one in this world is not found at fault. No person can be found who has been, is, or will be only criticized or only praised. Who is worthy enough to find fault in one who is like a coin of the finest gold, blameless in conduct, intelligent, endowed with insight and virtue, praised by the wise after being observed day after day? Such a one is praised even by the gods, even by Brahma. Guard against anger erupting in your body. Be restrained with your body. Letting go of bodily misconduct, practice good conduct with your body. Guard against anger erupting in your speech. Be restrained with your speech. Letting go of verbal misconduct, practice good conduct with your speech. Guard against anger erupting in your mind. Be restrained with your mind. Letting go of mental misconduct. Practice good conduct with your mind. The wise are restrained in body, restrained in speech. The wise are restrained in mind. They are fully restrained. So that's the second half of the reading from the Dhammapada. And I think, you know, there's some points in there that are universal and eternally true. And I think there's something to be said for developing the capacity to have a sense of understanding for others. When we have understanding, then the anger dissolves. We see that they're wounded, they're afraid, they have their problems, and then we can not react so strongly. You know, there's a saying in the Bible by Jesus. He says that something along the lines of, the more anger and hatred comes towards me, the more love goes out for me. You know, that idea. And I think that's something we can all learn from. At least I think I can. Because ultimately, you know, anger is a mentality of exclusion. It's like we block, we put out. And what animal agriculture thrives on is a mentality of exclusion. What animal agriculture, I mean, eating animal foods, is we exclude them from the sphere of our concern. We don't care. We exclude them. So veganism is radical inclusion. It's being willing to include everyone, even the people that make me angry, that hurt my feelings, or that I think are destroying the world. The idea is to, we work, we do our best. Like Gandhi said, he said, we can hate the action, but we never hate the person. So the idea is we might not like what they're doing, but the beings themselves, we try to separate that out and not have anger for them. And that's really healthy for us as well, because anger poisons us also. So the more we can abide in a sense of understanding and realize, again, like I find myself saying this more and more, that we live on a planet that's really in many ways like a gymnasium. You know, we come here and we're here to train. We're here to grow. We're going to get, it's like going into a boot camp and they throw, you've got to go through this obstacle course and you got to jump over this and dive under that and crawl through this and get all dirty and muddied up and bloody and everything else. But it's how we get strong. And we can't blame the course. It's like that's it's hard because it builds something up in us. And so I think, remember, you know, the foundation, I think, in most of the world's spiritual traditions is that this world is not everything. We leave here and we go on, right? So think, you might remember that. We go on from here, and when we're here on this earth, we're sowing the seeds for the next experience that we're having. And anger is not justified in the sense that it brings us into a lower vibration, more akin to violence, and we're sowing those seeds. So the more we can raise our vibration and live in a consciousness of kindness and caring and love and joy and freedom and creativity, the more we're building a positive world for everyone. So the program is strong, but I think we as spiritual beings are much stronger, and we are creating our world through our own consciousness and intention. So thanks, everyone. It's time for us to gather together for our prayer that we say. It's the prayer for the circle of compassion that we say every day at noon. It starts with the words, compassion encircles the earth. So please unmute your microphones if you are bold and brave and would like to join us. And here's Madeline. So glad she's right here. And thank you again, everyone, for sharing and for your presence and for the work you're doing in the world. We really appreciate it. No effort is ever lost. It all helps. And it's great that we can gather together from all corners of the United States and beyond. So let's begin. So we're ready? Here we go. Let's start. Compassion circles the earth for all beings everywhere. Beautiful. Again. Compassion circles the earth for all beings everywhere. Great. One more time with feeling. Compassion circles the earth for all beings everywhere. Yes. Amen. So it is. Much love to you all. Thank you for shining your light.
Thank you, everyone.
And looking forward to paths crossing again next time.
Thank you.
Thank you, everyone.
Thank you.
How's it get?